You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we discussed the continuity between the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament. The prophets revealed to the people of Israel that the Messiah would come bringing salvation. Then the apostles were sent out to reveal to all nations that salvation is found only in the name of Jesus. Without the apostolic message, one cannot clearly understand the prophetic message of old. Likewise, without the prophetic message of old, one cannot see the certainty and the fulfillment in Jesus. You see, these two groups, the apostles and the prophets, together speak the one message of Christ, and Christ alone brings salvation to all people. They testify to Jesus, bringing a sure and confident knowledge of salvation to the world. Now, in this lecture, we will look at Acts chapter 8, in which this message is proclaimed and revealed, the mystery that was not known to the generations in the past, has now been revealed in the days of the apostles. We'll look at Titus chapter 1 as Paul, the apostle, talks about the successors of the apostolic office and what they are to proclaim. And of course, in Romans chapter 10 and 16, where Paul talks to those Christians who have this revealed knowledge in Rome. We'll also look at Ephesians 3 and Colossians 1. Let's begin. In the book of Acts, we are told of the great persecution in the city of Jerusalem, which caused the disciples to disperse. At that time, the Lord God directed Philip to an Ethiopian eunuch who was pondering the meaning of the prophetic message of Isaiah. Now, without the revealed knowledge of the fulfillment in Jesus, the Ethiopian eunuch was unsure of the meaning. So Philip shared the message of Jesus with the man. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, states this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself, or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all towns until he came to Caesarea. Now that's from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. When asked if he understood the text of Isaiah the prophet, the Ethiopian replied, "How? How can I unless someone guides me?" You see, the prophetic message of Isaiah was given in order to point people to Jesus. Once Jesus came, the reality of Isaiah's words could be made known. It was necessary for the Christ to suffer and die on behalf of the world. But without the revealing of the life and death of Jesus, the Isaiah text would remain a mystery to the reader. The expectation of the Jews regarding the Messiah were different from the reality of the promised Messiah. The idea of the anointed one that was running around in the heads and the concepts of the people of God did not coincide with God's anointed one that he would send to suffer and to die to be that atoning sacrifice. But unless the Holy Spirit reveals this mystery through the prophetic office and the apostolic office, one would be stuck with human speculation and concepts of what people think might happen. You see, unless the mystery is revealed, the reader of the Old Testament prophets would not and could not fully understand who the Messiah is and what the Messiah came to do. Thus, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus in a letter explaining his role as an apostle, saying this in chapter 1. "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior." That's Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You see, the knowledge of the truth of salvation was promised before the beginning of the ages, but it was not until the proper time that it was made clear and manifested in the preaching of the apostles. It was in their message that the work of Jesus was made known. So that Paul went out, as he was sent by Christ, the ascended Lord, to proclaim this mystery, to proclaim the message of the cross. And then Paul and the other apostles entrust this to their successors in this office that the Lord instituted, in which the message of salvation would continue to be proclaimed throughout the ages until our day, in which God continues to place men in this preaching office to proclaim the gospel and to administer the sacraments so that the Holy Spirit would call, gather, and enlighten people into the Holy Church. Now, in Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, he emphasizes the reality that a person cannot know the mystery of salvation unless someone reveals it to them, or to him or to her. Without the apostolic preaching, there would be no true knowledge of salvation. We would all be left in speculation and concepts of what could be, but never being certain on what is. Without the revealed knowledge, there can be no faith in the promise of God found in Jesus Christ. Thus, Paul writes to the Roman Christians in chapter 10, saying this: "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." That's Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 17. Now the apostles were sent out with the word of Christ in order to make disciples, those who continue to listen to the voice of Christ. So the apostles were sent out to make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that Jesus had spoken, entrusting with them the promise of salvation found only in Jesus. So the apostles were sent out to share the mystery of salvation with all nations. Now, the language of mystery is the language of revelation. A person does not know a mystery until it is revealed. And even when it is revealed, a person continues to grow in his understanding of it. A mystery is something different from a secret. You see, a secret can be discovered by accident. A secret can be decoded by the efforts of trial and error. And a secret then is kept hidden so nobody else can know. But a mystery, on the other hand, a mystery is that which is entrusted, that is to be revealed by someone to another. So thus, the apostles are given the mystery of salvation that is found in Christ, and to proclaim it to a people who did not have the Word of God. So at the end of his letter to the Romans, those baptized, the apostle Paul refers to the apostolic message as a mystery. He writes in chapter 16, saying this: "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. So to only wise God, to him alone, be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen." That's Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. You see, this message reveals the mystery that is based in the prophetic writings of the prophets. Paul ties the life and death of Jesus to the message that the prophets had foretold. This mystery was hidden until the days of Jesus and the sending out of the apostles. In Jesus, the nations would be blessed as promised, even though this truth was overlooked by the Jews. salvation was not only for the Jews, but salvation was for all people. And the message of Jesus was to be revealed first of all to the Jews. Those who had the prophetic writings, the apostles went to them first to reveal the fulfillment of all the promises that are found in Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus crucified for their sins, raised for their justification, and who now stands at the side of the Father as the advocate, the high priest. The message of Jesus was to be proclaimed first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, that is, all non-Jews. The purpose of this revealed knowledge is to bring faith in Jesus. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the baptized in Ephesus, he writes in chapter 3 regarding this mystery to be revealed to all people, saying this in chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now that's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. You see, the resurrected Jesus came to Paul revealing the mystery of the gospel. Like the other apostles, Jesus himself sent out Paul to reveal this message to others. Paul was sent uniquely to the Gentiles in order to bring to them the right knowledge of God. This knowledge was not given to the Gentiles before. Previously, the oracles of God and salvation belonged to the Jews. Now the Lord was doing something new, bringing about one people for himself, consisting of both Jews and Gentiles. Thus, Paul was sent out to bring the true treasure of the kingdom of God to all nations. The revealed knowledge of salvation given as a gift to them, so that they would hear it, so that they would see it, so that they would believe it and continue to be instructed in it. For his desire, that's God's desire, was that they would remain steadfast in faith, the faith that was delivered to them by the apostles. Now, Paul is a steward of God's mysteries, and as a good steward, he continues to encourage them in the apostolic message, even in the midst of his own suffering for their sake. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Colossae about this mystery, saying this in chapter 1. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of the understanding and of the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this is what Paul writes to the baptized in Colossae, in chapters 1 and into chapter 2. You see, through the message of Paul, the Lord continues to work in the hearts of believers to bring about a fuller understanding of the riches of the glory of Christ within them. The Holy Spirit is efficaciously working in the written word of the prophets and the written word of the apostles in our day, as we continue to read it, hear it, and learn from it. The Holy Spirit continues to reveal to us the fullness of his wisdom and knowledge of salvation. You see, with both the prophetic and the apostolic messages, the mystery of salvation is revealed to the world. The true knowledge of God and divine things are made known through the proclamation of the prophets and the apostles. This knowledge of God is centered in Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sins. As we continue to study theology, we continue to learn to keep God's name holy in what we say and what we do, and to believe God's promise that in Jesus the kingdom belongs to us. The aim of our study of theology is faith in Jesus, by which we live in his kingdom now and into eternity. And as we continue to learn, we continue to pray, and we continue to learn to ask the Father that his name would be hallowed in us, that his kingdom would come for us and for many others, and that his will would be done, breaking and hindering any evil purpose and plot and plan of the devil that does not want his kingdom to come. Throughout the ages, the church has rejoiced in the proclamation of Christ crucified for us. And in this message, the Holy Spirit continues to gather his people into one body, that there is one church, both Jews and Gentiles, who hear the message of the prophets and the apostles inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the early church, you have such writers as Justin Martyr in the second century, who proclaims the wonderful things that God has done, calling the Gentiles out of darkness into light, revealing the mystery of salvation to those nations who never heard of the coming promised Christ. In the first apology of Justin, he writes this and says, "For with what reason should we believe of a crucified man that he is the firstborn of the unbegotten God, and himself will pass judgment on the whole human race, unless we had found testimonies concerning him published before he came and was born as a man, and unless we saw that things had happened accordingly the devastation of the land of the Jews, and men of every race persuaded by his teaching through the apostles, and rejecting their old habits in which, being deceived before, they had their conversation, seeing ourselves too, and knowing that the Christians from among the Gentiles are both more numerous and more true than those among the Jews and the Samaritans. Justin goes on to say, "For all the other human races are called Gentiles by the spirit of prophecy, but the Jewish and Samaritan races are called of the tribe of Israel and the house of Jacob. And the prophecy in which it was predicted that there should be more believers from the Gentiles than there were from the Jews and Samaritans, we will produce." It ran thus. And here Justin Martyr goes and he quotes from Isaiah, saying this: "Rejoice, O barren, that thou hast not travail, because many more are the children of the desolate than of her that has a husband. For all the Gentiles were desolate of the true God, serving the works of their hands. But the Jews and Samaritans, having the word of God delivered to them by the prophets, and always expecting the Christ, did not recognize him when he came. Except some few, of whom the spirit of prophecy by Isaiah had predicted that they too should be saved. For he spoke as from their person, saying this: Except the Lord had left us a seed, we should have been as Sodom and Gomorrah." Now here you see the early church of Father Justin the Martyr proclaiming the continuity of the prophets of old and the apostles of the New Testament. That you have this continuity that the prophets proclaim this mystery to the Jews so that the Jews would know it before it happens. And then this mystery was revealed through the proclamation of the apostles so that not only the Jews, but all this, so the Gentiles would hear of salvation found alone in Christ. And so with this continuity of the prophets and the apostles, the Holy Spirit reveals the mystery that is to be treasured, the mystery that is to be proclaimed to all nations. In his first apology, Justin Martyr also says this: "For the Jews, having the prophecies, and being always in expectation of the Christ to come, did not recognize him. And not only so, but even treated him shamefully. But the Gentiles, who had never heard anything about Christ until the apostles set out from Jerusalem and preached concerning him and gave them the prophecies, they were filled with joy and faith and cast away their idols and dedicated themselves to the unbegotten God through Christ." So here you have Justin Martyr in the second century proclaiming this continuity of the prophets and the apostles who have been sent by the Holy Spirit to reveal to us this mystery of salvation that is found alone in Christ, in him crucified. And unless we hear this message of the cross, we too would not know who the Christ is.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.